Hey kids, welcome to the 9th anniversary episode of the SML podcast. 9 fucking years. Dude, WTF, mate. Anyway, quick roll call of everybody who's here. Joe's here, of course. Fuck, it's his show. Aki and Purnell and Chris are here too. And yeah, I guess Jacob here. Fuck Jacob. Anyway, 9th anniversary. All right. Apparently, the modern observation of the 9th anniversary is supposed to be leather. Since this show is wonky as fuck, and wonky sounds like kinky, I think that means we're supposed to start doing some BDSM shit, or whatever those letters are. I don't know jack squat about it, but I found some diagrams on the internet, and I think we can figure it out. All right, let's see. First, I'm supposed to put this ball in your mouth. Don't spit on me, ass. All right, let's don't struggle. This will make it worse. And then there's this swing. What the all right. Hey, it's on the diagram. Whatever. Here's the swing. It's up here, and I'm supposed to strap you to it. Wait, no. Come back here. No. Upside down. The fuck? All right. That's what the picture says. Here we go. Upside down. There it is. Oh, God, you weigh a ton. All right. And then what the hell does this mean? Where am I supposed to find alligator clips? What the hell? Yeah, fuck that. What else? It says, strike servant with the strap repeatedly until it submits on here. Well, gotta do what it says. This is gonna hurt you a lot more than it's gonna hurt me.
Son of a motherfucking...
But wait, I think this was backwards. Whew, good thing I caught that before what looked like bringing in bat wings, a couple of tires, and ropes. Who knew BDSM and CrossFit were so intertwined? The hell? Yeah, let's get to the show. I'm gonna disassemble this bullshit and nurse the show back to health. You guys go do your thing.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML podcast. Oh, Jesus Christ. Everyone's talking.
Happy birthday.
It is. It is our birthday. It is our 9th anniversary episode, and everybody is here. Well, a lot of people are here. Not everybody. Most of us. Jacob's here. Aki's here. Chris is here. Purnell's here. How is everybody doing?
Windmill of whirlwinds of errands, but I am kicking it and chewing gummy bears, so it's waking me up. I like gummy bears.
What kind?
I just discovered them recently, actually. They're called Albanese.
Okay.
Albanese.
Oops, Albanese. Yes.
I bought them. Oh, jeez.
On the bee's knees?
I love that. He was joking, like, oops, all berries.
Better than all like, these nuts.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, if that was, like, there was planters, it'd be worth it. But not in this case.
I'll be planting these nuts in your mouth.
No, I don't have planters. I have gummy bears. But anyway.
No, you want to gummy these nuts?
Gum these nuts.
You're failing at it. You can't gummy nuts. That doesn't work. Nuts are
sure
solid.
You can. You can gum them. If you have no teeth and you're going to the balls, I mean, you're just giving a gum job there.
No one's gumming nuts, okay?
Just stop it. No one's gumming nuts. Is determined to make a C landing on that joke.
I'm going to push back because we're talking about gummy bears, damn it. But yeah, they're like, apparently they're advertised as like all world's best or whatever. And up until now, my logic was no, that's horrible gummy bears, clearly. Well, I bought them and I've been addicted to them. And I just bought like another 32 ounce bag of the damn things from Target, where I also just went and bought RCS. Time and return Pokemon Arceus immediately on the way out the store.
Wait, why did you return it?
I bought it on Friday, you know, because it came out on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Target sends me a darn promo on Monday saying make three $80 purchases in a month and get some money back. I'm like, well, I already just made one 2 days ago, so fuck you, I'm getting my money back. So I went and rebought the game and then returned it with the old receipt.
That works.
And then were you like, yo, I want to buy that game right there?
Aki, what are you sighing about? What do you have to talk about, Aki?
I'm still sighing about the gumming stuff. Just
you just have to audibly sigh like every 30 seconds.
I just yeah, because you know what? She's thinking about these nuts.
What, the ones in your wife's purse or the ones in the jar?
Why not both?
Little column A, little column B.
Because there's been a terrible accident.
Little column A, little column of B, a little column of D's nuts.
Nuts.
The title of the episode, D's nuts. It's just do. At this point, it's worth it.
I mean, we're the nine, so we are this here. Immature.
Jesus.
That's a good very point. True. The D's nuts.
So, yeah, it's been 9 years of doing this show. What does everyone think of this show going on for not like did anyone Chris, you've been around since the early days. Jacob, you've been around since the early days. Did either of you think this would last 9 years?
Wait, didn't we already answer this question for the 700th episode?
Probably.
Yeah,
God, I've been here for half this thing's lifespan. Oh Jesus.
I've been here for the whole thing's lifespan. How old do you think I feel?
Yeah,
he's well, been, you are he's been around for that, another like you know.
Like you're nine. You just said it.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I didn't think anything was going to last 9 years.
But this pandemic,
when
is.
Show started. Yeah, true.
Anything. My taste.
The real question is, will we outlast the pandemic?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
Well, how we outlast? Pandemic?
Yeah. Yeah,
will the podcast outlast it? I'm not sure because I don't know.
I mean, so far,
this was the time.
None of the co-hosts have died, so
that we're
doing okay.
Yes, no one has died. Yes, no one's died at all. Yeah, I agree. Reboot. Fuck. Anyway, but like, yeah, like this has been the time of podcasts. So if anything, more people started doing podcasts during the pandemic than otherwise. So if we didn't
have too much competition now.
So are you saying we're trendsetters?
Yes.
We are very fucking only.
I
got it so early. Nobody listens to us. Nice.
I made a post on Facebook saying that the show turned nine and I joked that there's more years than listeners. And a friend was like, you just got to focus on gaining like 1% listenership every day and then focus on 1% the next day and then 1% the next day. I was like, 1% of nothing is still nothing.
1% of one is 0.001.
Like, we're going to go in the negatives if I follow that advice.
Also, you're not doing this podcast every single day.
I know. Thank God.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're trendsetters. If anything, we're hipsters. We were podcast people before it was cool to be podcast people. It's sad.
Suck it, Joe Rogan, you dickhead.
Fuck that guy.
Also, I feel like at the end of the day, is like this. There's the things that people like and don't like. One, I have trouble even reading on that shit. But two, the stuff that I do notice people like boggle the fucking mind out of me. And that doesn't mean because I'm old. They boggled my mind when I was young, too. So... It wasn't like
people are stupid.
They are very stupid. Agreed on that. Like some of the shit that gets a million views, I will never understand at all. Now I'm not saying we're like stand-up comics here or anything, but
I totally understand it. People are stupid. That is the answer.
Yeah,
that's all we need. Like, so we just start doing episodes like this is the SFL podcast. How you guys doing?
Hey, we might get listeners that way. We'd be speaking their language.
Climate change. What the fuck is that? A joke? That ain't real. Now, break out the breasts and the milk. I'm hungry. and whatever.
The milk, man, like the dancing milk emote we have in chat now. Yeah, that's right. I got bored and I made some emotes.
Well, there's nothing wrong with
that. That's kind of cute.
Like dancing milk. Dancing milk.
Actually, I love that I made a random comment about milking. You had a dancing milk emote. I'll take it.
Yeah, I also have Chuck Norris getting hit in the face with an oar. I'll post that one.
Oh, I already like that. I like that a lot.
And then my cat potato. There's that
Anytime
one.
Anytime Chuck Norris gets hit with anything is just perfection.
Nice. Hey, Ryan, you like Chuck Norris so much.
No, I like him getting hit.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
I think this is a clip from Conan or something where he just got hit in the face with an oar. It just, I don't know. It's funny as hell. It's been on my computer for a long time, and I was able to make it into an emote for our chat. So, fuck it. Why not? There's a Jacob one, but I don't know if I'm allowed to use it. I've been waiting with bated breath if Jacob will allow his emote to be used.
Use it. That was permission right there.
No, it wasn't. So I'm not going to activate it until I get actual permission. Yeah, why are you getting sued? Oh, my co-host, I put his face with rabbit ears on a website.
Oh, God. Never mind. Delete it.
How could you see that, Dick? That sounds like literal star power. How do you become famous?
That is
star power.
That is how we get popular with Jacob's face.
Well, I mean, God. I guess you earlier about the show, but how do you feel about, like, I know you like to do, like, the you know, the self-deprecation stuff here and there, but we get, like, one listener and blah, blah, blah. But all that aside, just in general, the scope of you doing the show, interacting with people every week, talking about games, game news, pissing your pants, not that last part, but everything else. How do you feel about the show, being 9 years old?
How do you know I don't piss my pants?
How do you feel about your pants being warm?
I mean, he is old. Night?
I was trying continent. To. I don't have to hold back. You openly admit it. Yeah, you piss your damn pants before every episode. I've heard him. I heard the trickle. I heard it.
No, it's not before every episode.
It's, you think it's before? Really?
It's an hour and a half into it when I can't get everyone to shut the hell up and finish a review. And then I'm just like, fuck it. We're letting this go.
I've seen the face, too. He's done that.
Got the bag and everything.
Just got a jug under my desk.
Not that he ever gets any of it in the jug, but, you know.
It's the effort that counts. I mean, he's trying. He's doing his best.
I'm just pissing all over the wall.
People go to his house and think it's cat urine they smell. It's not. It's just nachos.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just taking notes intently.
Good.
Serious answer. I love doing the show. It's fun to do. I love getting friends on the show to chat and, you know, making new friends with all the guests that we get on the show and people who, you know, come back more than once for some odd reason, like all of you. I wish someone would listen. Like, really, that is my one desire. I wish more people would actually listen to it, because everyone who does is like, your show's really good. More people should listen to it. No shit. I worked my ass off for this show. I know it's fucking good. Now someone listen, please, for the love of God.
I don't know if you have the pull, but you might, because you know a lot of freaking people through Mag and crap. Do you know anybody else through the community that also has a show in some capacity that draws listener or viewership that you could guest on?
Hey, Pernell, can I guest on Rhythm and Pixels?
You should do a live one at MagFest sometime.
I tried.
Yeah.
Shit. You realize that was the point this year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was to actually do a live podcast.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a live podcast, but we couldn't get anyone to record it because the guy,
Brendan, right? Or was it Brendan or Zerum that was going to record it?
Brendan was going to record it, but he got kind of screwed over and he just backed out of MagFest completely. So,
shit. That
yeah.
Well, there's always next year. Or the year after.
Maybe.
If we haven't died yet, we're not going to.
Yeah, short of COVID, like, developing some sort of, like, freaking nuclear, you know, nuclear evolution, things are going to be
it's doing that, but
like it'll be fine. Like I honestly, I think if anything, the main reason I didn't go to Mag, I was kind of anxious in the first place. Let me put this on non-speaker because now my heater's running. The only thing I didn't go to main Mag Fest in general because I was already nervous about it, but I was still considering going. But it was the fact that I had Schrodinger's COVID, which is why I ultimately said I'm not going. Because to this day, I don't know if I had it or not. But two different tests, two different answers. What are you going to do? Just run with it.
So is our laundry fairy going to leave to go do laundry? Or are we going to go on a car ride with you? Or what's happening?
You're on a car ride right now. I'm filling the cup with urine.
Delicious.
Of course, that's what Joe would be into. Yep. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Did I just hear the first ever instance of dead air on this podcast?
No. We've been rambling this whole time about urine. No, but also about laundry. I'm actually putting my laundry in right now.
I knew it.
Because you peed yourself?
I got scared and I had to check my audio settings to make sure my mic was working. Dead air.
It was only like 1 second. Oh, well. It was like a beat.
That happens every now and then.
We got the beat. Also, on an odd random side note, in one of my rare instances where I get caught up on a TV show, I started watching that All of Us Are Dead show because I had to watch something while eating dinner and then five episodes later. And I'm actually enjoying it. I think I realized secretly that I'm a big fan of K-dramas. Just didn't know it. And
everyone is. They just don't know it yet.
A big fan of what dramas?
K-dramas. Korean dramas. Asian dramas are some of the best dramas you could ever watch. Just any of them. They're fantastic.
I used to watch a Korean historical drama, which like back in the day, like 2002-ish. It was like Braveheart, but like on a TV budget. And it was like, it was pretty damn good.
And that's how you know they're good too, right? It's like you're watching a show where you are audibly laughing at the effects, but you're still like, I still really like what I'm seeing. I don't even care. Like they're doing the work of the actual acting. They don't need the effects because I'm entertained by their actual acting skills and what they're putting out there. Like that's magic. And like, but with this show, like, yeah, I feel like they even did a good job with the special effects. Like that burp sounded just like a real burp. It was amazing.
What if it was a real burp?
Then that's just cheating.
How is it cheating?
Isn't that better art then?
No.
Yes, I'm the best artiste.
It's like banana flavored candy versus actual bananas. Like to make it taste as close to a banana as possible, and in some instances, better than an actual banana.
It's always better than actual bananas because it has sugar in it.
That's right. Which means that's an art form, right? Like I'd rather eat the candy banana than an actual banana because shit, dog. You know. So
shit, dog. That's how
I feel about this. Hold it. You'd rather eat a candy banana because shit, dog.
Damn, Skippy.
Better than Up Dog, I guess.
Yes,
I really think Joe. Can we just do like a spinoff podcast of the show where we just like hook a mic up to Purnell for like 2 hours and just listen to him ramble? And like, and that's just it. That's just the podcast.
The Tuesday episode.
That one.
I mean, I don't know. I do have a habit of that working sometimes. Like, I go to the gym and do my exercises, and then it's over at, like, I go at the last possible session, right? So when I'm done, they're closed. So you would figure a person would want to get the hell out and go home. They've been working for, like, 8 hours. But instead, I end up talking to these people for an extra hour, and they have every right and means to say, get the fuck out. We're tired of your words or whatever the hell you're saying. But instead,
like this podcast.
Yeah. On these tangents. Oh, come on. Sometimes other people talk.
Like, no.
And we even have
you ever,
here, like, no.
Have you ever listened to a Thursday episode? Aki's trying to get me to shut up all the time.
Now I'm the new guy to shut up.
Oh.
Well, you're okay to listen to.
Oh, shucks. What the
Thank
hell?
You. Thank you. I appreciate
Jacob,
it.
I'll admit I don't always hate when you're talking. Just
yes, you do.
No, not always. Just most of the time.
There's an actual fraction
that's adorable.
Involved here.
There is sometimes where I actually like listening to your reviews. They're just few and far between. That's all.
I like when you review games that he hated.
Please try.
It's like, I like when you talk about games you hated after you had to review, because that means you suffered for a while.
That's fair.
The truth.
I mean, those do tend to be a little more funny, but that's not the weird. It.
I mean, I feel weird about that too, in a sense too. Like, I've had that chat with people where I say, for all the reviews that you could do, like, first of all, I genuinely believe that it's very rare that we get a genuinely bad game on the show. Even like the lightest of light fare rarely is bad.
Chris Gilson.
I'd rather not. Rare that is bad. Like, that's a given. But the trade-off is that when you do get a game that's wholeheartedly bad, you have this tug of war in you that's like, okay, time for a bad review. I can either be kind about it and just kind of rein it in a bit.
No.
Or you can just take the reins off and go, this game was a piece of shit, and I'm going to tell
that's
you what.
That's the only way you do it, because that's the truth. If a game sucks, it sucks. You need to tell them, because then they know what to fix. If you're being nice and being like, well, it was okay, it's just not my... No, if it was a bad game, it's a bad game. They need to know so they can make a good game later. Because if they make more crap, they're going to fail, and then they're not going to exist anymore. They should be told when it's shit and why it's shit, so they can do better, so they can prosper.
See, and that's why when
the danger, though, because while you are 100% correct, the danger is that I like doing better. It's like there's something cathartic about it. It's like being allowed to just unload and be like,
I promise you,
this is shit.
No matter how many companies you make good by telling them the truth, there will always be shitty games out there. That is more true than death coming for people.
Hey, there has to be bad or you'll never get good. If everything is just the same, then, you know, nothing stands out.
But that just goes to show you, though, like, because that is true. Games. Like, we need bad for there to be good, but for as many games as we review on this show, and we review across the spectrum, I feel like it's very rare that we genuinely get a game where, like, this game was a piece of shit. Do not buy it. Like, if you did, if anything, I feel like that should be your goal for 2022. Do, like, a general spreadsheet of every buy it, try it, deny it, we give. And at the end of the year, just do the metric. Like, we had, like, 2% of our reviews were actually denied. I feel like it would be less than that. I feel like I've said deny it 3 times in the history of doing this shit.
I've said it more than that. I think
Tim has said it the most. Tim for a while was just like on a deny it spree. But
I'm lucky. I usually choose games that I'm pretty sure I'm going to like, and I'm usually right.
I try not to find games that are just outright garbage unless they're sent to us. Like, it's just, here's a game key, give our game a review. And it's like, this is pretty bad, but someone's going to suffer for it. Hey, Aki, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Looking for a way to suffer. What you got?
You say Aki, yeah, but I got game. Agony and Decay of Logos.
But I feel like in your case, that's different, Chris. Like, if it's a Gilson B. Pontus game, your name is on it. It's like a target. Oh,
those aren't Gilson games.
Yeah, those weren't Gilson games.
And to be fair, Cole got Decay of Logos first.
Oh, okay.
Well, I actually went out and got that and went and tried to win it, and I did win it. I still haven't been able to play it yet because I'm always busy.
I wanted that
game, and Cole got it, and she hated it. And I'm just thinking, you know, it was such
a beautiful game. It was just like there was.
And you have the elk, and it's so cute.
It just wasn't good.
It must be all that.
I wonder if they revisited the game or if they went back and did any work to it. Because if you look at games like Final Fantasy 14 or No Man's Sky, like, a game can be improved.
The only problem is the money has to factor in. The money's not there. I feel like a lot of times it's a passion project. You're doing it in your spare time. So the time, it's more about time than money. But
they did go. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, after you, sir.
I was just going to say, yeah, they did go back and make some improvements, but I don't feel like it was enough.
No.
I could check
when again. I get home, I will play Decay of Logos, and I'll tell you if it's still shit or not.
They apply some fluoride to that Decay of Logos?
You know, what really hurts is when I get a game that I'm really excited for and I'm like, this is going to be such a good game. It's everything I'm going to like. And then I play it and I fucking hate it. And my prime example of this and will probably always be is Superliminal. I was so fucking excited for that damn game. It's a puzzle game. I love puzzle games. I fucking hate that fucking game.
Did you join the Navy afterwards?
I hate it because it's very luck-based, because you pick items up, you raise them up, and then they become larger when you let go of them. However, they can fall whatever fucking direction they want, and you can't pick it up and reorientate it anywhere. So it just becomes a giant fucking clusterfuck, and I hate it. I hate it so much. If you could just reorientate it, I would probably like that game, because then I could put chairs that flip sideways the way I need them to fucking solve the puzzle. That game pissed me off so much. I was so excited.
No one caught the Simpsons joke, but admittedly, it was a really off shot one. But
your Simpsons references.
It just didn't mean anything.
It totally did, but you have to know the Simpsons. That's a bad habit. Nothing.
There's like 40 years of Simpsons. I can't remember all of them.
Only the first 10 matter.
That many years? Holy shit.
There's like 30.
Yeah, there's 30.
Like the 33rd or 34th season. And you got to factor in before that, it was Tracy Ullman. So maybe 1 or 2 years before that.
Yeah.
Simpsons have been around for a bit. And it's funny, too, because if you listen to like any like recent season clips, and you listen to like, say, the voice actor for Marge or Mr. Burns, like, they sound so weird. Like, you can tell that they're pushing it. Like, our voices weren't meant to sound like this for this many years consecutively, and it shows. Because, oh, my God. Like, Marge, like Julie Kavner, who does Marge Simpson, oh, my God. You can just tell that she ran a freaking, like, grinder or some sort of, like, meat grinder through her tonsils for 35 years with that voice. And now it's just like,
I'm sorry, the damage could you do is irreparable.
What? They should just have you play Marge.
Oh, me. No, I couldn't. I couldn't do Marge Simpson's voice.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Whoa, did we just get a Simpsons voice actor in here? Holy shit.
Julie Kavner at your service. How's it going?
I just know, apparently at some time, Apu, that's the right name, right? Apu?
Yeah.
The person
yeah.
who did Apu left. And yeah, that just hurts my soul, because that was like one of my favorite characters. I absolutely love.
Well, he didn't leave the show. He just stopped doing Apu.
Yeah, it's Hank Azaria.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's because he's a white guy.
Like, I don't care about that.
Oh. Like, that's literally the reasoning, though. It's one of those things where it's like, I get why it happened. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm like, it didn't bother me, but I get why it would bother others. So no. I wasn't going to be like, no, that's crazy. Like, I mean, I grew up watching Family Matters, thought the show was great. Steve Urkel made my fucking school life miserable just by existing. Yeah. Oh. And I love
Steve Urkel.
Oh, I did too. He still made my school life miserable simply by existing. And the thing about it is, like, by that same, like, basically the argument that the guy made for Apu applies slightly to what mine was for Urkel. But in the case of him, it was more cultural specific, whereas mine was just like, this is just what I look like, and I'm blind too, you know. But
you look like Steve Urkel? Okay.
No, I'm black like Steve Urkel, and I'm tall. I was tall, lanky, and black, and I wore glasses. That's really all you needed.
Okay, so you look like Steve Urkel then? Okay.
I don't even know why I feel weird about this. Steve Urkel was not an ugly dude. Jaleel White looks perfectly fine. It's just people were like, he's a nerd.
I saw pictures of him after he was out of that show, and he was actually a very handsome person.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then when they did Stefan Urkel stuff, it was like, well, there it is. Exactly.
Like, they didn't have to change anything about the actor playing Steve Urkel to make Stefan Urkel. Like,
they just took his glasses off.
Yeah.
And gave him clothes that
holy
fit properly.
Shit. What? Next thing you know, you're going to be telling me, like, Clark Kent's the same guy as Superman. Like, what the fuck?
I don't mean to be the bearer of weird news for you, buddy, but I think he kind of is.
What? Oh, shit. Raider Biz, thank you so much for dropping 500 biddies. Thank you for the anniversary wishes. Yes, it is 9 years of this shit.
We apologize.
With another 500 more coming.
500
years or 500 episodes?
Welcome to the SML podcast.
Don't worry, we'll put your brain in a jar. You'll
be host. It'll be Futurama.
And I'm here with some friends. Who's here? Pernell. What? Pernell. What?
I said Pernell. Chris Taylor's here. Chris, how are you doing?
Welcome to another SML After Dark, and by that I mean 6:30 p.m.
SML in the late afternoon.
We got our pills SML, and we're ready to sleep.
The early bird special.
I need my scrambled eggs and my donuts.
God, that would be a gassy. Who are you? Could I eat that shit now?
Scrambled eggs. Actually, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have scrambled eggs tonight for dinner, but
I want some donuts.
I want my bagel.
Everyone wants donuts.
Donuts.
You want these nuts?
Go fuck.
Donuts. Go nuts.
Go nuts for donuts. Woo!
Donuts for these nuts.
We need Explosion Man 3. That's like the fifth time I'll say it on this show. Twisted Pixel, get on that shit. Do they even exist anymore?
Yeah, they make Oculus Rift stuff.
Yeah, VR stuff.
We actually talked about it last Thursday episode, if you were listening.
No one listens.
And my defense, though, I don't listen to any of my shows that I'm on, any of them. So it's not.
Those are the only ones I listen to.
My problem is, I'm like, I'm already on them, and when I don't have free and I have free time, I got to prepare for the next ones.
So, well, no, Raider Biz, people listen to this show? No.
You see, that's the problem. The show by being on it.
If they started to, you'd have to change the name of the show. It goes from the SML podcast to, like, there was the SDL podcast.
Someone did definitely listen.
Someone definitely listened.
I like the past tense. Someone did listen. And then they stopped.
That one time. But that's the thing. Once someone generally, I feel like once people start, they typically tend to continue doing so, as long as their, like, routine doesn't change. Like,
see, you just changed the M to a P, and it's some people listened.
See? That is true. All you got to do is change the name of the show, and by virtue of that, people will be listening to the show. Because you
tried that once.
Wait, what?
So he tried that.
Yeah, we tried to change what the SML stood for. That was our 200th episode.
Yeah, from small, medium, large to
no, up that was ship. Our 20th episode.
Oh, wait, what was so it before that?
I missed something then. I know it was originally small, medium, large.
No one knows the history of this show, do they?
I only know what I have said.
There's like 700
said.
Yeah, there's like 700 odd episodes, all right? It's like The Simpsons. You really expect us to have watched and listened to the whole damn thing?
No.
It's a moving timeline. Remember that time when Joe was in a grunge band?
No.
Or when he had to pilot the space shuttle?
Oh, yeah. I love how that was a question for you. Remember when he was in a grunge band? Wait, what? I was?
So yeah, the first 20 or so episodes were small, medium, large, and then Bogue left and Chris swapped in as medium, but we didn't think that it other fit Chris. Anymore. Yeah, Chris Huber, former Chris. So you, Chris, you named it the Someone Might Listen podcast. You entered the contest and won with that name.
Whoa, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Chris named the show. And then for the 200th episode, we had another contest where people could name what it stood for, and it was like scoring more laughs or something like that, but it never felt the same, so we just quietly readopted Someone Might Listen.
Yeah, they use like one of those like weird like you know, punk core band names like, you know, Skillet Masochism Libido or something. I don't know.
That was what most of the entries were, yeah.
Yeah. Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
Yeah.
One of the prizes. To that.
Some motherfucking losers. That Aki, you could have won with that one.
Aki, no.
I didn't even know about the contest. I think that was before I was in.
Yeah,
that was episode 200. Yeah, I came in at 330 something.
Well, the Someone Might Listen was episode 20 or something.
Yeah,
I don't even know when I started
early.
Like, it was literally like an out of nowhere. Joe was like, hey, a guy's gone. I think you said he was like going to like France or something. He was traveling. And you were like, do you want to review this game? Because he's gone. I'm like, I'll do it. Sure. It was like Amnesia. And I was like, Amnesia's fun. I'd buy it. And then he was like, you want to play Drive, Drive, Drive? I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I still remember when I came in, I had listened to like two or three podcasts at that point, and I just mentioned how I always wanted to do this. So you gave me a review code for Giant or something like that. For Steam, which isn't a game that exists anymore, and I ended up giving you like a 3-page review on it. You were like, oh no, we don't, not that long.
This review of Giant is large. Oh Christ, yeah. Jacob,
I really wanted to make sure I did a good job.
Jacob was actually physically around in the single digit episodes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. Yeah, we did like episode 6 or 7, something like that. Tim had to work that night. So we were like, oh, let's just record at the game store after hours. And Jacob was there and we just did the episode there. And Bogue played a game during the show.
Yeah, it was. It was like drinking your own piss. The game.
Wait, that was a game?
Man versus Wild.
Yeah, it was out on 360.
That leads me to the question now I think about it, too. So I always assume that when it comes to this kind of stuff, that goes for like any publication, podcast.
Are you talking about drinking your own piss or what?
I already do that. Fuck that. I don't give a, you know, it's sterile. It's safe. It cures COVID. Anyway, so.
Just make a note not to.
Now we're going to get slapped with a warning for misinformation because you said that.
Hey, but they won't cancel us, though. But hey, Neil Young might leave YouTube, so it's good. but what I was thinking was, I always assume that when it comes to these kinds of things, that someone is like getting codes or something to start a show or whatever. But I always wonder, like, did you start getting codes before you started the show, or did you do your own games and then codes came after you started the show?
The show started as just people talking about games. Like there were no reviews. There were no developer interviews. Like the first actual interview we got was Nick Chester, who at the time worked at Harmonix. He used to work for Destructoid, and I met him through Destructoid and talked with him there. And, I followed him to Harmonix and we talked there, and now he's at Epic doing like actual important shit.
And, like, I followed him to Harmonix and was like, what the hell are you doing in my office? If I give you an interview, you go home. Yes, I will.
Harmonix were actually super supportive in our early days. Like, the old crew at Harmonix was awesome to our show, and I don't know why, but they were
just good people, though.
They like, were.
You had more experience with them than me, 100%, but the one time I really did interact with anybody from Harmonix, it was at one of the PAX East, like the first PAX East, and they had like a rock band lounge and set up there. And when I went in and was playing the game, there was like staff from Harmonix working the room. So I went up there and started chatting with them for a bit, and I mentioned that my favorite song in the game was Rob the President, and they lost their shit. Like, I was amazed by the fact that they were like, this is our favorite song too, holy crap, someone else likes it, like no one plays that song. So I had to play the song at the bar, and they were like, this guy's great, he's singing the song. And I'm like, this is a lot of fun, these guys are very friendly.
I just want to say, I love that you asked me a question and then you went on a tangent during my answer.
Well, I'm earning my legendary title. I am Lord of the Tangent.
Sometimes people just ask you a question because they want to answer it.
No.
Hey, not true. Not true.
Just kidding.
Well, anyway, we had a few guests come on here and there over the years, like Danny Baranowski came on in the early days, and then Adam Rippon came on in the early days to talk about Dragon Fantasy because Dale North did the music for it. And Adam Rippon ended up becoming a friend of the show, coming on like a dozen times over the years. And then it slowly, like, I would reach out to a developer and we would get a code and I would be like, oh my God, this is really cool. Let's talk about it. Let's play it on the show. And then the show ended and then we ended up coming back And a few episodes in, I was like, why don't we try doing this for real? And I started reaching out to more and more developers, explaining that we're an upstart new podcast. We're trying to get our foot in the door, trying to do reviews, and they would send us codes and we would review them on the show. We have never missed a review, I am proud to say.
Yes. Yeah, but when you say Mr. V, you're saying they gave us a code and therefore we reviewed it.
Yes, we had coverage in some way for every game that we've gotten. Whether I know, Jacob, you had an instance where the game didn't work and we had to end up reviewing trailers.
Yeah, there was that. Well, there was also that one trivia game that I spotted numerous errors, both in the facts and grammatic issues. And then the guy was just like, oh, just hold off. I'll tell you when to review it. And we're still waiting 4 years later.
When it comes down to actual, we were given games for coverage. We've done all our coverage. We've hit everything. We still get guests coming on chatting every couple of weeks. We're always having new people coming on. We're going to have some interviews coming up in the coming weeks. Purnell and Chris, I know you're going to be part of at least one of them.
The Yacht Club interview is still one of my favorite. As he had them part, the name is Dave Ventura. He's fantastic.
Yep.
And honestly, sometimes I'm just too drunk to remember the name, but I always have fun. That's the important part. Get rambly and chatty.
I was going to say, going back two tangents ago, when you had asked, did we get codes in the initial stuff? When I started becoming a regular reviewer on here, Joe didn't really have that many codes to give me. And so I was actually just a lot of my early reviews were iPhone games, and it was pretty much just me reviewing whatever the hell I downloaded for my phone.
Yeah. Which I would always tell you not to, because I wanted to keep our show. I don't want to give away free coverage, as dumb as that sounds.
No, it makes reasonable sense to say that. I always assumed that,
We're busy. We have a lot of shit to do. We don't have time to waste on games that we're not officially covering. That's right.
But
back
then we did. Yeah. And technically, our first EA review was me reviewing The Simpsons Tapped Out for iPhone. And now here we are, however many years later, and we're getting EA codes.
For Simpsons Tapped Out on Xbox One.
God, I wish, because I really need to redo my town, and it's so damn small trying to do it on an iPhone. I hate it.
Yeah, because I feel like that's kind of how it... I always assume that's kind of how it was, because developers have to be okay, so what have you reviewed so far? What is your download ship or all that nonsense? You're like, look, I just want to talk about fun stuff. Can you help me out or not?
I still have to tell people, no one listens to our show, but the people who do are super dedicated and awesome, and they stick with us, and they follow what we say, and we've built a really, really cool small community. I wish the community would grow, because it's, cool people. Everyone...
The moment... go ahead.
I got to feel we're about to say the same thing, but right now it's small and awesome. It could get a little bigger and more awesome, but there's always that weird point where it eventually starts bringing all the oddities. It's too big. And obviously you got somebody like, the fuck, you reviewed that game 3 weeks ago and you said it was a try it. And then you reviewed this game that's clearly shittier and you said try it, but you were happier about saying it. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, see, that's why I'm here, though. Because I wouldn't put up with that. We would lose those viewers real quick, because I would tell them to fuck off without a second thought. I would do it without a first thought. That would pop out of my mouth before I could do anything about it.
Yeah, Aki doesn't think before she speaks.
Well, the problem is, that's dangerous.
Do any of us?
No.
Have you listened to Purnell?
I told you. The thing about it is, I think Joe knew about... Oh, shut up, Jacob. I think it was because of SML, actually. Joe remembers this. People get fucking whacked. There was that one time where I think Joe attempted to
whacked?
Some... What? No. Well, whacking. Hi-yo.
Purnell murders people in his spare time.
Awesome.
No, what happened was there was a moment where Joe tried to do some paid advertisements to see if it could boost the show at all. So he was putting
Jacob did. Jacob wanted to do the paid advertising on Facebook.
Oh yeah. All right. Yeah, that was $10 on Facebook. All right.
Yeah, that was our advertising. Reach.
So what happened was our
advertising budget has been $10 over 9 years.
but weird how the viewership hasn't gone up. Well, think about first of all, advertising on that site is a pain because you get people like the guy that did keep commenting on Joe's or on the SML advertisements being a real dick about it. We're like, what the fuck? I don't want this in my feed. Why does it keep showing up or whatever? And I was like, well, you don't have to click on it. It's not that big of a deal. Like, calm down. And the dude somehow took that as a major slight. So after he kept trying to ramble in my ear like a fucking entitled bitch, I blocked him. Then he went and found me on the Rhythm and Pixels like YouTubes. He came up with like a bunch of fake names and was saying I was a homophobe who like told him off one day. Like basically was trying to make me like some kind of guy who like treated him like shit and made him hate himself. And I'm like, who is this person? Because I was like, who is this? Did this happen? I'm like, no.
I don't even know who this guy is.
Who is this person?
And then I realized that happens to any of you from this point forward, just invite me on the podcast. I'm fine. I'm more than happy to tell him to fuck off.
But the thing is, you wouldn't be able to because you don't know who it is. Like, I only realized it was him because after he got blocked like 5 times, one of his fake names that it clicked for me. I was like, wait a minute, it looks familiar. And I went back and found the old post, and it was like an anagram of like the other name he used.
Yeah, but like, I know you're not a homophobe, so I mean, oh, you touche. Have me on there, be like, and this is our token lesbian.
See, there it is. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm not the nicest people. I'm not going to. Like,
I thought Jacob was our token lesbian.
Jacob's like, well, not to brag. But yeah, like, I was really shocked by that. Like, why would someone that he has like no time, he has all that time that he can just like make a bunch of fake names and bombard hundreds of videos to make up fake claims? Like, how bored do you have to be to just waste that much of your life? I didn't even understand.
About as bored as we are doing this show.
No, this is fun.
I'm having the time of my life over here. What are you talking about?
It can be fun, but you guys aren't stuck on a show with only Jacob, so.
Yeah, true. We got Brooke.
Every episode, Jacob will be like, hey, guys, D's nuts. Waka, waka, waka.
No. With Jacob, it's usually these nuts are goddamn Sonic. Fucking tired. If I never hear Sonic ever again, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
You know, just because
we're not referring to the restaurant,
because we still have to get to the news eventually. Yeah, now I'm gonna start looking up Sonic the Hedgehog 2 news just for you.
I hate you.
Look what you did. Look what you did. I had.
If it makes you feel any better, Aki. If it makes you feel any better, he's not gonna find any because Sonic the Hedgehog 2 came out in like 91. So
no, the movie. Good movie news.
Oh, fuck. There's no news for that yet. Was it Knuckles is going to show up in the movie? Oh, wow. Really? No one knew that?
You know, the movie comes out in April, right? Like, yeah. They're releasing news. Yeah. Guess what? There is new news.
God damn it.
It features Dr. Robotnik's son. Does it features Robotnik's son scrambled?
No, there's just new. Hold on. Oh, no, I'm not going to reveal the news just yet. I have to make Aki hate herself even more.
Yeah, we have actual important news to talk about first. Should we get to the news, Chris? Pernell, were you two going to stick around for news?
I'm going to leave in like maybe 10 minutes. So let's get some news in.
All right, Chris, you good to stick around?
Yeah, I'm good for 11 minutes.
11 minutes. Cool. Well, let's get through as much news as we can in the next 10 minutes. Sony is buying Bungie for $3.6 billion.
That's cool. They get Destiny. Yippee.
The thing is, I didn't understand. Like, I mean, they did. They're claiming to fame is Halo, Bungie. And what was that one game they did? Marathon?
They did three of them. It's not just one game.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say. Oh, there's three Marathon games.
Yeah.
So like
Marathon 2, Durangle, and Marathon Infinity.
But aside from those guys, like, I mean, because I understand that. I believe that the reason they bought them was probably because for their talent. Like, hey, you guys can make more games like this, but for us. But
yeah, I'm pretty sure it was because they wanted to make something that rivals Halo.
But then it makes me wonder. Like, do you think they got the chops to still do that after Destiny?
Well, the thing is that, like, Bungie's been talking about trying to make Destiny, like, some sort of, like, multimedia thing, and so it's very likely we're going to be getting a TV show and or movie. Most likely it's porting towards a TV show.
League of Legends surprisingly pulled that off. I don't know if Destiny's got the balls for it.
But then, all right, so they get Destiny, whatever else that entails. Bungie also has another game that's coming out in like 2 years, I think they said. Plus, they're apparently working on like, they're assisting with like 10 other games or something like that.
Oh, geez. Nice.
I read somewhere.
They're overworked. Okay.
Well, and then also today, I believe it was Kotaku broke down what's actually in the deal. Ugh. And like $1.2 billion of the money that's being spent for that is just to keep the talent from leaving over the next 2 years.
That makes you wonder, was it because it was like, hey, Sony owns us now. Fuck that. I hate Sony. I'm leaving. Well, what about this whack cut of cash? So, I said leaving because I said hunkering down.
Yeah, because originally Bungie stated how they didn't want to be owned by anybody.
Yeah, apparently one of the big sticking points is that they will remain independent and they will allegedly remain multi-platform. And that Destiny,
that's what they think.
And that Destiny will be the same game no matter what platform you play it on.
So I guess the whole purpose of having them is they're expecting that the returns on just selling the game across all the systems or whatever future projects they'll sell will make up the difference of what they spent to get them.
I think the Xbox port of Destiny is going to have Spawn as a special DLC character. Hihachi for the PS4 version and
Link for the Switch. For the Nintendo. Yeah.
Cloud Switch version. But of course it's going to be
The Cloud Switch version.
Because
the Switch can't play Destiny.
I swear, like, as much as I love the Switch, it just drives me nuts that they're like, hey, we've got Kingdom Hearts on the cloud. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking, like, I mean, I'm actually wondering, I'm sure there are people that do this, but I don't know a single person personally that uses the cloud options on the Switch instead of just playing the game on the native console originally came from.
Yeah, I have no interest in playing
the original console.
I have no interest in playing the cloud versions on Switch.
No. Nope.
I don't know.
Right, Control. Oh, I love Control. What is it on? The Switch. What is it? Can I buy the cart? No, it's on cloud. Well, what system was it on before that? Well, my friend had it on the Xbox One. Let's get a fucking Xbox One then. Shit.
Oh, geez. Anyway, Jim Ryan of Sony is saying that we should expect more when it comes to acquisitions. So it looks like the war may be on between Sony and Microsoft in buying sprees.
And I kind of hate it. Like, that's a part of me, and this comes from me, like, you know how I am with this kind of stuff. But like, I've always been okay with the idea of like companies buying like smaller companies. Like, hey, this indie studio is doing this thing, but it can really use more capital to put out some bigger projects. Hey, here's a LARP. How about Sony or Microsoft buys them? Now they have more money. That's great. But then you buy like the companies that have already gobbled up other companies. Now it's just like, they need your fucking money. You're just stealing them from everyone else. But and that goes for anybody that does it. It just, I don't know. Like, I get the idea of buying them if the intent is like, hey, we just want the profit of everything they sell. There's nothing to say. We want to buy them so that no one else can have them.
I just really hope if they buy any of the big ones, they clean house and get rid of all the pieces of shit in it.
That's which is hopefully what's going on with Activision when Microsoft takes over.
Yeah, I can't wait for Ubisoft to be bought next.
Because people were complaining about the fact that they were like speaking okay about Bobby Kotick. But the reality of it is, to my understanding, is that you really can't reveal your cards until the deal is done. Like, you can't be like, oh, well, the moment this ink dries, we're going to fire his ass. You can't really say that.
I don't think they really want to fire his ass anyways, because if they just choose to fire him for no reason, he gets like $300 million.
Oh, he's going to be getting a big payday no matter what happens. And that's,
yeah, but if they can come up with a reason, a good reason for it, it's like $300,000. So I'm hoping they just go back and see all the bad shit he's done and be like, okay, you're fired for this, and all these 2,500 other fucking things you did that are all right here. Look at the evidence if you want. You get nothing.
Like, that's what I'm assuming they're going to ultimately do, like, because the allegations are out there someone's going to eventually just like, look, we're going to actually press this beyond a Kotaku article, and it's going to actually matter. At which point,
what I would like to see is for these big CEOs and all this other bullshit that in their contracts, it should say, if you do any of this crap, you get nothing. All your stock is taken, everything. You get nothing. You do not pass go. You go right to fuck the hell off.
I would love that just to see Bobby Kotick under a bridge in San Francisco.
Yep.
Another homeless person wheels up to him like, yo, man, you got any extra aluminum cans? Aluminum cans? Man, let me tell you that once upon a time, I was a big cheese, a huge cheese. And then I had sexual allegations.
I agree. He was a huge cut of cheese.
A huge cheese.
Cut of cheese. He was a huge fart.
A Limburger.
I'm writing that down. A huge cheese.
A huge cheese.
But man, like it's
blue cheese.
I would like to just see him like actually have a downfall. He probably won't have one because like you all mentioned, he'll get a golden parachute or some shit. But I mean, people like that just deserve to actually get egg in their face and not just be able to swing off
with
money.
Even if he didn't have a golden parachute, he has so much fucking money, he could spend millions of dollars every year for the rest of his fucking life and never be able to spend it all.
You know what I hate? You got
that he's alive.
All their money. Well, that too. But you got these cats with tons of money and they're just burning on more and more extravagant things, almost trying to compete to show that who's got the most money. But you never see these guys be like, I'm the greatest cool philanthropist. I'm going to take this wealth of money and turn that city into a freaking societal mecca. And Jeff Bezos goes, oh yeah, well, I'm going to take these two cities and turn them into societal meccas. Eat that bitch. And
then Elon Musk say he was going to like clean Flint's fucking water supply and nothing
and then
has
never
ever
did
happened.
It. Yeah.
He went the wrong
water
direction.
Water is still ended poisoned up in, to this day.
He ended up, like, he went the wrong direction and ended up in Austin.
He's like, no, you understand. The secret of cleaning Flint's water lies on Mars, and I got to get there.
He was going to go down into the earth to fix the water, but instead he went up into space. He did go the wrong way.
Well, he heard there was water on Mars, so he wanted to make sure to get some of that.
He's like, take that, Nestle. I got some moon drink.
Where am I going to find some water? Oh, Mars.
It legitimately makes me sad that Flint is still in such a bad position. I can't believe that still hasn't been fucking fixed yet.
Have That's you just, lived in America? Like...
the government, someone should have fucking fixed this by now. The government, some multi-billionaire, somebody should have been able to solve this fucking issue by now.
Why when it's such an effect
from it?
See, Flint just needs to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Like that's true.
That makes the most sense. Just get off your lazy asses and fix your pipes. For
come
anyone
on,
listening,
Flint,
that
you
was
lazy
fucking
bitches.
Sarcasm. Don't report me to the SOB conference, but honestly, but yeah, I mean, I feel like even if they were like to say, hey, I care so much about Flint, I'm going to repair their piping system and get them clean water and write it off on my taxes, I'd be fine with that. Fuck, but do it. Like they get
money.
Oh,
they wouldn't be able to write that much off their taxes. That's probably why they don't do it.
Good point.
It would cost them more than they could write off on their taxes to fix that shit, so they don't do it.
Elon Musk, use one of your friggin' like tax havens. I don't fuck something. God damn it. Everything's butt stinks.
Wait, what?
When did the Flint thing even start? It's been so long.
Okay, we have actual news. We can't keep what these fucking tangents. Jesus Christ!
Welcome to the SML podcast. We're talking about societal issues and how welcome we can address them.
So many long answers that just trail off and go on and on and on.
Welcome to the SML podcast. Now, do you realize why we keep Purnell to one episode a week?
Damn it! Yeah, man. I guess that's true.
Well, it is 10 o'clock, so I know you and Chris both got to get going.
I'll take one more news bit.
One more news bit? Well, the next news bit is Game Pass, so that's going to be a big news bit.
That's fine. I'm eating chicken.
All right. Well, Game Pass, a lot of games coming to Game Pass. This week, we got three games joining, with Contrast joining Cloud and Console, Telling Lies joining the lineup, and Dreamscaper launching direct to Game Pass.
That's a good game. Cute.
Dreamscaper is pretty cool. Get to fight with a yo-yo.
And it has a pretty baller soundtrack by Dale North.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've kind of blind bought it when it came out on Switch originally. And it's good. I think you guys will like it if you play it. It's a roguelike, though, so, you know, caution there. But as far as roguelikes go, I don't think it's a particularly brutal one.
No, I have it downloaded. I am going to try it eventually, but hopefully it'll be soon, because next week there's more games coming to Game Pass. On February 10th, we are getting Besiege launching direct to Game Pass, Crossfire X, Operation Catalyst, the first of three campaign stories for the game is launching onto Game Pass. The other two campaigns are going to be DLC purchases.
Crossfire!
You got caught up in the crossfire.
Oh, God, this was the most off-tune and rendition of Crossfire I've ever heard in my life.
It was painful, of all the renditions.
Crossfire! Yeah, Barry Manilow's Crossfire.
Crossfire.
I really now need that to be like a meme, Barry Manilow's Crossfire. Like, I really want that to be like the picture for this episode. Somebody whip that up immediately.
That's how I would say it. Like, you'll get caught up in it.
Are you maybe thinking of Barry White, not Barry Manilow?
Yeah.
No, that was Barry White, but Barry Manilow was not. He was like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
Barry White would be like, oh, yeah, get caught up in the crossfire.
Barry Manilow was like, you're going to play the crossfire, and then you dance on the bridge and burn out. Anyway, other games joining Game Pass. Edge of Eternity is launching direct to Game Pass. I'm very excited for that one.
I'm excited, but I'm annoyed that, I don't get to review that.
Aw, boohoo.
I was like, Edge of Eternity. I realized, oh, wait, no, Eternal Edge is a game that I reviewed twice. And I was like, why is anyone excited about that?
Edgy Eternally.
Yeah. Edging Eternally is what we do after the show.
That sounds like misery. Go for it.
Skull, the Hero Slayer, is joining Game Pass.
I need to play that. I bought it on launch, and as you know, it's sitting on my Switch doing nothing.
Shocking.
You said you played it, Aki?
No, I don't know that one, no.
It's like, another roguelike game, but...
Oh, that's why I don't know it.
It's like Kid Chameleon, this is where, like, you change skulls, and the skulls give you different powers and abilities and such.
That sounds kind of cool. I'm not going to play it, but...
Well, it's going to be on Game Pass, so I might give it a go. One more game next week with The Last Kids on Earth and the Staff of Doom.
I was curious about that. I released on Switch also, and I would see that Target... And I fought the urge to buy it on multiple occasions, but I guess it's based on like a kid's book or a young adult's book.
Who knows?
Jacob, do you know what it's based on?
I know it is a book, but I'm not familiar with it.
But anyway, I hope it's good. Like, I heard it was at least, you know, passable as a fun game, so I can see it being enjoyable to play, especially if it's free.
Now, Raider Biz saying that it's based on Netflix cartoon and books. Raider's son is enjoying the game, so there you go. It sounds good.
Cool.
Also good, February 14th, we got two more games joining on the 14th with Ark Ultimate Survivor Edition, so you get all the, I guess all the DLCs coming with it now, and then Infernax, which is launching direct to Game Pass.
I'm hoping to try. Is that the one that people have been comparing to Simon's Quest?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was the one that was kind of like Doom.
Infernax. Let me look it up.
It's a 2D game, and on the cover it's like a guy facing a monster and he's holding a mace.
Yeah, this is the Simon's Questy one.
Oh, okay.
Of course, now you got me wondering about what this Doom game is. I didn't know that was in the works anywhere.
Yeah, it's I think it's like a western-y game or something.
Weird West?
Maybe. I have to look it up. I don't know. I don't remember.
But unfortunately, that kind of goes along with the rest of the news. It's not all good news. Games do have to leave Game Pass, and there's a bunch of big ones leaving.
I heard Control is leaving.
Yes, Control is leaving Game Pass. Code Vein is leaving Game Pass. Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age is leaving Game Pass. No! The Medium is leaving Game Pass. The Falconeer.
If you haven't played The Medium, come on. It's a weekend game. Just knock it out. It's worth it.
When is The Medium going away?
All of these are leaving by the 15th.
If you're interested in that game, Hockey, Yeah, like you can finish it in a weekend. That's what, honestly, I literally finished it in a weekend, and you know how I am with finishing anything.
No.
Well, for me, it's more the issue is I didn't have much to play it on.
Yeah, because it was a Series X launch exclusive, or exclusively on Series X at launch.
Yeah, and then I went to PC, and my PC isn't good enough for it, so I played it at my parents' house while I was there for a little while, and I didn't get very far into it. But now I have a Series X. I'm installing that and playing that when I get home, because I want to finish that.
Yeah, you have to let us know what you thought of it, because like I honestly
like it so far. The main character's cute.
So you have the medium and decay of Logos you got to tell us about.
Okay, I can do that. Easy peasy.
Yeah. Medium first. You should just have fun before you suffer.
Okay. I was going to play medium first, mostly because I wouldn't have as long to play that, but okay.
Yeah, because it's leaving Game Pass, just like the Falconeer is leaving Game Pass and Project Winter is leaving Game Pass. So six big games jumping off of Game Pass.
That hurts. I mean, it's on the positive, most of those games.
On the positive, there's like for the six that are leaving, that thing has so many available games to play. That
there's like 400 goddamn games on Game Pass. It's stupid.
Yeah, like I kid you not. Like I told myself, and I'm so far so good. Essentially, like I'm done with the collector's mentality after the Switch, and I've been holding on to that. Like, and I feel like with stuff like Game Pass and whatever PlayStation eventually decides they want to do, because they'd be fools not to try to eventually compete with that, because Game Pass is the shit. Between that, I would have enough to play with my old man time, plus doing reviews, that I really wouldn't need to buy new games anymore. Like, I would just be comfortable being like, if I didn't get a review code for it, I don't need to play it. Like, I'll still buy something I'm going to play immediately when I get it home. But if I'm not going to play it that day, I'm not going to buy it. Or, correction, at least that week, because I'm not going to... If I get a game at night, I might want to go to bed. You know, I'm old and everything.
It is 6:30.
My teeth are so... Oh,
goddamn Matlock, son.
Matlock!
Thanks to how many games I review, I very rarely even get to play anything on Game Pass. It's sad. It's like there's so many good games on there. I've played, like, maybe 10.
No. Chop, get to it. What are you waiting for?
I have reviews I have to do.
it really does make me think, like, for the poor suckers, like, I bought a game that was just really bad. Like, man, it's like throwing a dart at a wall and missing the wall. Well, I got this game. I hope it's good. It's a terrible game. You missed 1,500 good games and bought one bad one. God damn, your bed luck is terrible. Anyway, about the news.
The news, games are joining PlayStation Now in February, too.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Four new games are joining the PlayStation Now lineup. They're getting Death Squared, Little Big Workshop, Through the Darkest of Times, and then until May 2nd, they're getting GTA Vice City Definitive Edition.
Those poor, poor souls.
Okay, there's a couple good games on there.
Let me make sure I didn't screw that up. GTA Definitive Edition is the one that they panned recently, right?
Yeah, it's the new version. They panned all three of them because apparently just not good remakes, but...
They screwed the pooch on the remakes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could be fun to play for free just to laugh at them, but...
Speaking of playing things for free, how many of you got caught up in that Wordle game?
Nope. I am actually playing it. I started playing it this week, and I'm not even ashamed of it because deep down, I already like puzzlers. Like, it's like someone playing Picross and feeling bad about playing Picross. Like, Picross is fun. Wordle is just like a thing you do just to kill some time, you know, nothing big. But at the same time,
is that what you do with games?
Shut your pie hole, Jacob. I love you, Jacob. But like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm fine with the game as a free thing to just kill some time with, but there was that news of like the New York Times buying it for like a stupid amount of money. Like, I'm not gonna pay for Wordle. So if they think someone's gonna buy that or pay for it with their subscription to the New York Times, they can kiss my ass.
I think it's kind of weird because there was that news that someone stole the Wordle thing and released it on other things. That guy had tried to partner and outright buy the game prior to him just stealing it. And the original creator was like, no, I don't want to sell this. I don't want people to have to pay for it. And then he turned around and sold the to the New York Times or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, they I don't spoke get his that. Number. Oh, I do. They tell him, they gave him the number that worked. It was like, I am not selling my products for $500. No price is worth $5,000. Kiss my ass. $500,000. I'll suck your dick. It's like, that's pretty much the gist of it. They spoke the
so
number.
So we know Purnell's line, 500,000 and he'll suck a dick.
Oh, you think it's that high? Come on now.
Purnell's like, 25 bucks. I'm good.
Hey, 200.
I don't think it's
man,
that
give
high.
Give me some credit. $250, damn it. I got to pay for gas.
Sure.
All right, listeners, you heard it. $250 Kickstarter is starting now. We are going to buy a blowjob from Purnell.
Oh,
small
Jesus.
Text. This Kickstarter is not, I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to do shit after I get the money.
All right, Purnell, it's already been funded. Get your ass over here.
All right, just mail me that check and we'll get started. And then we'll
close. No, you come to my house.
Wait, why is Jacob getting the blowjob? What's going on here? This is your show.
Myself.
First of all, I'm still closing the Kickstarter.
Because we
second
know
of
what
all,
Jacob's into.
And now
second
we.
Of all, I would need that money for gas to get there. So you'd have to trust that I'm not going to fail on you, which I will. So fuck you. Give me my money. Gave my money.
I mean, that's kind of what he's trying to do.
To say.
So now we've witnessed how Wordle got sold in real time.
Yeah.
There it is. Sold. See, that's a history lesson for everybody who's paying attention. Like, but honestly, like I totally get the idea of selling it, especially if he was like, cause I think if I remember correctly, the history was like he made Wordle as a gift for his wife or his fiance or something. So it was just like a pet project he did. And then people latched on to it. She was like, hey, you should just let other people use this too.
Raider so Biz, did. How did we go from Wordle to this?
Well, from easy.
How can we not?
I mean, it's five letters.
No, really.
Word, and
please tell me how we cannot.
What's the secret?
So anyway, speaking of horrible business decisions, on Monday, Team 17 announced its plan to get into the NFT game. And then on Tuesday, they reversed course.
I don't understand. I mean, well, I kind of understand. But at the same time, like, outside of just general greed, I don't understand why anyone would latch on to NFTs. Because, like, from
there
a lot of perspective, they make no fucking sense. They're just dumb.
There is no other reason. It's distilled greed. The entire concept of it is.
I used to, like, at least expect that if they're like, hey, we're greedy. We want money. What do we do to get it? They at least come up with something that actually has a fucking chance instead of just like, if we just beat people over the head with it enough, they'll just take on Stockholm syndrome and just do it.
It's like, I mean, DLC. at least pet rocks are fungible.
And they're also pets. I mean, I can put it on my windowsill. I can pet it.
Put it through the window if you want.
Well, yeah, Purnell's talking about beating people. That leads to some more news. Using baseball bats. MLB The Show 22 will be launching April 5th on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X and S, and for the first time, the Switch, and will feature full crossplay and progression. Unfortunately, it will have separate pricing for different generations, so like Xbox One and then an Xbox Series X and S version, or you can wait for Collector's Edition and get the dual entitlement. Or if you're cheap, it's on Game Pass again. 2 years in a row, it's on Game Pass. A PlayStation game launching on Game Pass is fucking hilarious to me.
Hey, and you can play it too.
Jacob, are you going to be playing again this year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
You could have totally said, are you going to be attending the show this year?
Maybe. But also with baseball news, pretty much all of the RBI baseball games have been delisted at this point.
Yeah.
The only one that you can still get is RBI Baseball 14 for the Xbox 360 and Xbox One versions. In case you have like $20 per game to blow for whatever reason
on a 7-year-old baseball game.
Weren't we just talking about money for blow?
If you got $250, game the show.
$250 for a copy of the show and a blowjob from Purnell. Discord and PlayStation are now allowing you to link your PSN account to Discord to show what you're playing on Discord.
Well, I don't have a PlayStation, so...
Well, you could already... The functionality is there for Xbox already. I don't know if there's anything for Switch.
I was going to say,
you know, work with Discord, like, isn't Discord all chat or channels?
Like, I know Twitch is now on Switch, but I don't know about Discord. Yeah.
I didn't know if they had anything to like show what you're playing on. Then again, I don't think Nintendo has anything to show what you're playing.
God, I mean, to this day, like, Nintendo's Switch online platform is like, you still can't see real names. You can't see what you can see what people are playing, at least. You can do that. But there's like no way of like generally tracking. Like, the only stats you get are those yearly ones that they do. So like, it's very little they give you to interact with other people that you're friends with on your system. It's kind of annoying.
No.
As a very antisocial gamer, I'm totally for this. this is a positive for me as a Switch fan. I would rather retain anonymity that people don't know how much I'm playing Death End Request.
What's wrong? Whoa. First of all, what is wrong with playing Death End Request? Those games are great.
That's literally what I'm playing.
Anyway, moving on. The Suicide Squad game is allegedly delayed until 2023.
Yeah, if they need more time, that's
great.
Fine.
I have to live another year.
Well, you don't have to.
Well, if I want to make a game of it, apparently I got to wait a year.
You can do it with a squad.
Yeah, but he has to wait until next year. That's his point.
Death by firing squad. Yeah. That's a good way to go.
Oh my god, I wish I was doing that this week now because of that.
Ghostwire Tokyo is finally launching for the PS5 March 25th.
God, I want to play that game. I'm looking forward to that. I've been on the ear for that without saying how since like 2019 or 2018, which is weird, but it's finally coming to fruition and I hope to try it.
Yeah, that one looks really cool, and then I'm sure it'll be like another year until it shows up on Xbox.
But it'll show up on Xbox. That's the important
thing. Eventually, yeah, because it's an Xbox game now.
Yeah, buddy. Get your Ghostwire on.
Good old acquisitions. Last bit of news I have is some Switch news.
Ooh, sign me up. The Switch
has hit 100 million units sold, faster than any console in history, and has officially overtaken the Wii in total sales.
Oh, no hell. It has no good games or anything.
Yeah, it's just 90% shovelware, as you know.
Yeah.
In the 930-something games that I own on the Switch, 800 of those, just bottom of the barrel.
Well, I bet one of them is Animal Crossing New Horizons, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I sold mine, but I did enjoy it when I played it, though.
Well, it is now officially Japan's best-selling video game of all time, with over 10 million units sold in Japan.
All time?
Yes. Yeah. The previous record holder for a single game was Super Mario Brothers with 6.81 million, and the record that it just beat was the combined total of Pokemon Red, Blue, and Green, which was 10.23 million. And damn, Animal Crossing crazy. Just topped that in Japan and is 37 million units worldwide for that game.
I swear, like, I'm not like a console like chaser or nothing like that by any means, but sometimes I just want to hold on to these kinds of things for when I hear some asshole just like, Nintendo's got no game. I don't know who plays that shit. It's not even for real gamers. Or like, look here, fuck you, buddy. Did you know? The best-selling game of all time isn't even a game for real gamers. I mean, hey, what happened there? I mean, I don't understand it. It's almost like other people play fucking video games or something. I don't know. It's crazy, right? Anyway, the news.
I'm gonna get back into my game of Animal Crossing and tell my animals after 3 months, hey, y'all did it.
Congratulations. All they're going to say is, hey, there's a lot of weeds growing around this.
Yeah, they're going to be like, where were you?
It's been you abandoned days. Us.
Animal Crossing. But yeah, like, it's, I love that system. Like, I was like, what was it? A couple weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was at like a family function, and the guy is like a good friend. He's like a almost like a brother in a sense. He was like, my kids are looking to get a new game system, and I'm trying to think of what to get them. And I was like, give them a Switch. And he's like, I don't know. They don't say they really want to get the Switch. I was like, what are they saying they want? And he said, they want an Xbox or a PlayStation. And I was like, okay. They have a gaming PC. He's like, yes. I'm like, it's a really good one. Like, yes. I'm like, hey, kids. Like, what? I was like, what do you want to get on a PlayStation and an Xbox? And they couldn't name anything. I was like, fuck that. Get them a Switch. Just get them a damn Switch. They'll be happy. I promise. It's like, but why? I'm like, any of the games they would have named if they knew what the hell they wanted, which they don't, would have probably been available on PC because they're not that deep in the trenches of gaming. I can tell you that right now. Just get them a Switch. And so far, they are very happy with it. Because, you know, I mean, they're all good systems, but if I got to choose one of them, especially if I got a hotbot gaming PC, I'm getting the damn Switch. It just makes sense. So, honestly, and the best thing about the Switch being a high seller is that unlike things like the DS or any thing, like there's not a, I guess they have three technically versions of the Switch, but I don't really feel like it hits the same note as like back when it was like the DS and DS Lite, the DS and XL and all that. So I don't know. I feel like it feels like it's more warranted as a record to be broken by the Switch than like if it was like one of their other systems. Also, most people laughed at it when it got announced.
Yeah, now it's a best-selling Nintendo system of all time. That's, well, no, it's behind the DS and family. It's behind
the DS and the family.
Yeah, like all the DS's together.
Oh, the DS family. Gotcha. Now, if only they could stop doing the fucking takedowns, we'd be happier.
Yeah, it'd be nice. But yeah, that's the news I have. Any news anyone else want to talk about?
I ate like 2 pounds of General Tso's just now.
Okay, so that's a no from Purnell. Chris, any news you want to talk about? Aki, anything on your end?
Nope, not this time.
Jacob, your Sonic news?
God, back at it with Sonic the Hedgehog 2 news brought to you by Aki. You can blame her.
Now I'm going to space out for a while. Someone just, you know, ping me.
So,
later.
Aki, just so you know, there are now two new posters that got debuted for the Chinese New Year. But one of them shows Tails, the other one shows Knuckles. And they both say that it has an April 8th release date. So, Aki, you can get in line now. Unless you live over in China for some reason, which in case you have to wait till April 28th. Either way, Aki, I suggest that you get in line right this second. Hop off the podcast and off you go.
So Aki's going to miss the show on the 7th because she'll be at a midnight launch for the midnight showing of Sonic 2.
For the best video game movie of the year, which, I mean, judging by that Uncharted trailer, it's a pretty low bar. So
is it that bad?
I really don't trust Tom Holland. Like, I mean, I think he's fine as Peter Parker, but he looks nothing way too damn scrawny and too damn baby faced to be Drake.
Nathan Drake, yeah. I mean, I can understand they were like Nathan Fillion was too old or whatever, but Tom Holland, not feeling
even Mark. Don't even me. Mark Wahlberg, but that was also like 10 years ago when he was originally cast for it.
No,
so. Continuing with the Sonic the Hedgehog 2 news.
I can't see, like, Nathan Drake going, sorry, sir, I'm pardoning
you,
mister.
Hey, damn it, don't interrupt me. Anyway, so actually this has really nothing to do with Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's just the same company that's handling it. It Takes Two, the developers of that, are now going to be working with DJ2 Entertainment to work on a TV show, possibly a movie for It Takes Two.
Oh my god.
And along with that, they're also currently working on the Tomb Raider anime series for Netflix. They're developing a show based on Disco Elysium and also a film based on Sleeping Dogs.
Huh. A bunch of games that didn't need films. But then again, who knows?
Sleeping Dogs always needs a film. It needs an everything. Fuck you, Pernell.
I was going to say,
hey, side stories can't be told well in film.
Yeah, but I want to know what Not Ping's goddamn name is finally. Fuck you.
I don't think his name is Fuck You. That wouldn't be good TV entertainment.
Well, no, it's a film.
They keep having to bleep it.
Hey, get your ass over here.
Wait, can you imagine if I bleeped this show and I had to go back and listen and take out all the swears?
No one would ever know what I was saying.
As someone who just played through a game where you have to bleep stuff, yeah, it would drive me nuts.
For our family-friendly episode.
All my reviews would just be just one long set of bleep, and that's it.
Speaking of reviews, we do got to get to those. Pernell and Chris, we're going to let you two get going.
Alrighty.
It was fun to chat. Now I'm going to go watch All of Us Are Dead. And eat
Happy
more.
Birthday.
Woo.
Yay. Do either of you have any final words before we let you get going?
Happy birthday.
Chris
Happy
already said birthday. That. You're just stealing Chris's line.
No, I added some enunciation on that.
That's true. Nobody has ever once said happy birthday.
I was going to say.
To the world.
I will admit.
That's
I Chris's
quickly trademark that.
It wasn't originally my idea.
Your secret's safe with us, though.
All right. Well, you two take care, and we are going to move on to reviews. Jacob, you ready to start?
Wait, I was still doing news.
I thought you were done.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm just fucking with you. No, I don't
Jesus
have
Christ.
Good, I just wanted to hear back to my YouTube video.
But did you hear the terror in Aki's voice, though?
No, that wasn't terror. That was anger.
All right. We're getting to reviews. First game to talk about tonight is called Ollie Ollie World, developed by Roll7, published by Private Division. It's releasing February 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Take a trip across a lush skateboarding utopia that is filled to the brim with eccentric characters and vibrant locations that are begging to be explored. Find your grind in Inflatable Alley or blaze down Las Vulgas to discover new paths, fresh side quests, rad rewards, and epic trick opportunities. Jacob, tell us about your time with Ollie Ollie World.
So, if you've played the previous Ollie Ollie games, then you know that it's like a 2D skateboarding game. Pretty much, you just went down like these like long corridors and had to do various tricks. Ollie Ollie World makes it more of a... It's not like it's not fully 3D.
It's like 2.5D.
Like 2.5. Yeah, one of those 2.5D games that you see out there. Damn kids. and so with this, it's not like the god of skateboarding, but like the person who talks to the mere mortals and the gods of skateboarding is retiring, and she's looking for a replacement. And of course, that replacement ends up being you. And so you have to learn how to skateboard and do all these tricks. And as you go through, you have to pretty much, it's just, you have to clear all these different levels. And you have the ability to go off of ramps. You can, do some wall riding. You can, you can grind on rails. And a lot of these levels later on will feature multiple paths of how you can like still get to the same ending, but like there's different routes for you to choose from. And each of these levels have like certain objectives that have to be met, whether it's, obviously get to the end, which is the objective of literally every level. there are points-based ones, and then there's other stuff too, which are optional. And usually it's like, give somebody a high five, grind on this for like however long, don't pop any of the inflatable animals, stuff like that. it's just, the game presents itself as a very chill thing. And you as a player will not become particularly chill as you continually have to redo, you're going to have to like... start over from the checkpoint because you wiped out, and then you have to start over, try to do the trick again. I will say this, as frustrating as I personally found it, it's a good game. It's just like when you screw up, it's you. Like, it's not like the game's being cheap. It's not like, the controls weren't responsive. Like, you didn't time your own shit properly. Yeah. And I do appreciate that. It's a good challenge. It's, but the thing is that player
it is a challenge.
It is a challenge, and you have to be okay. Like, I mean, it's like any other sport, like, or like regular skateboarding. You're not going to nail everything on the first try. And so
no, and thankfully it lets you go multiple tries. Like, if you want to get all of the challenges in the stage, like if you collect all the starfish or,
well, the only one that you wouldn't is complete the level without using any checkpoints.
Yeah.
That you have to start from the very beginning. Otherwise, yeah, you can use the checkpoints. Now, what the game doesn't tell you is that, like, when you're resetting for a checkpoint, you just have to tap Y. So initially, at the very beginning of the game, I was constantly restarting. So on the plus side, I have a lot of levels that I was completing, you know, all the way through without using checkpoints. But it's only because I didn't understand how the checkpoint system actually worked. It's really the only thing I found that the game didn't explain. It's pretty thorough, and I do appreciate that for newbies for the series, because, you know, it's been a while since the original games got released. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of new players to this to the series. So that being said, I appreciated the art style. It's a lot of fun. It's very Adventure Time-esque. And, you know, just how the levels were built. There's a lot of creativity in this game, and the different environments that you can go through. It's just the developers really took their time, and they delivered, honestly, a pretty great game. Is it frustrating?
It's super charming too, with like the writing in the game is really charming.
The different characters you meet are varied, like, and there's a lot of people that you're going to meet during this game, and each one of them, yeah, like, it feels like they took care to actually flesh out, you know, each character, so it seemed like it wasn't just like some random NPC. I did like that about it.
Yeah, I can understand why this is called Ollie Ollie World and not just like Ollie Ollie 3. This is such a much bigger step than a normal numbered sequel would have been. I think this is just like a whole new world for the Ollie Ollie franchise, and it's really solid.
Yeah, it's the right step for the franchise too. Like, it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like, it definitely isn't like a bad game. And it's honestly, it's the best direction that they could have put this series in. I'm glad I returned to it, because honestly, I was not a fan of the Ollie Ollie games before. But the trailer that you had me look at, I was like, all right, this looks pretty dope. I'll give it another shot. And I'm glad I did. Like,
so if you wrote off the series before, give it another shot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Like, it's really worth your time and money.
Well, it is $30. What is your official verdict?
Cheap ass Jacob still says 30 is good.
Cool. Works for me.
Like, yeah. Like, it's a rare one that, you know, as cheap ass Jacob likes to say, but, this one I'm totally cool with the $30 price tag. I recommend it. Get it now.
Nice. And if you want to hear more about the game, stay tuned. We should have an interview with John Ribbons at Roll 7 sometime soon. So stick around. Next game to talk about is Croc's World Construction Kits 2, developed and published by Spracklesoft. Released February 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $4.99. Play and create custom levels of Croc's World. You can publish them on the internet, and other players can play them as well. Jacob, that clearly can't go wrong at all, can it?
Oh, definitely not. No, sir.
So tell us, what went wrong with this?
So,
the language.
Oh, God. Okay, so understand that this game is aimed at kids. And for an independent Mario Maker kind of game, the game lets you create platforming, like levels for like a platforming game. There's different environments that you can use, different block types, there's different enemies, there's a shitload of enemies. I was actually kind of surprised based on all the other stuff that's in this game. And you're allowed to build, like, it just lets you build levels, like, you can go wild. It's just pretty much the game is just like, you have to be able to make it from point A to point B, and that's it. Like, you know, let your imagination run wild. That being said, in the game, the gameplay is actually pretty damn slow, and it's really frustrating, like, when you've hopped on one enemy and there's another enemy close by, and the game will just read it as you just got hit, even though you should, like, the collision detection is just really bad. Mm-hmm. And so the gameplay is pretty frustrating. And so, like, just like, you know, I know what they're trying to do, and as a game on its own right there, it's not particularly fun. But it's something that's very fixable. So yeah. I'm hoping that they will go back to fix that, because there's also a lot of other things that need to get fixed in this game. The user interface for choosing your levels or your custom levels is an absolute pain in the ass. When you get online, it's a little bit better because it only displays 10 levels at a time. Otherwise, like in a normal offline mode, you're stuck scrolling through however many levels you've created, whether it's like 10, 20, 40, whatever.
Jeez.
It's all on one page, and it is just such a pain in the ass to scroll through. So holy crap, that needs to get fixed. And then the part that I was really caught off guard by is that, you know, you can upload your levels online, and there's achievements tied to this. So of course, you know, everyone was uploading all their levels. I did a couple, like you could find mine. It's called Cheese It, because, you know, it's related to just getting a cheap and easy achievement.
Shocker.
Yeah. And so I will say this, some of the levels were particularly well thought out. But they didn't include any kind of like a language blocker or anything.
Yeah, this was the problem I was referring to when I said sharing online.
Yeah. So at the time when I was playing this, according to True Achievements, there was only like 27 people being like tracked for this game. So it's a very small player base. And there were already levels that were called KKK and Cunt. And like somehow, there's no language filter for a kid's game on this. So
yeah, that needs to be addressed. That's a definite issue.
Yeah. And so it's just like, and that was only with like 20 or so people, playing this game.
And now it's out to the wild, so who knows?
Right, so God only knows what state it's in now, and I really hope that the devs are fixing that, because holy shit, I don't know if that potentially would that violate or not violate, but mess up its ESRB rating.
No, because online interactions are not rated by the ESRB.
Okay, that's fair, but still, holy crap.
Yeah, there should be some kind of moderation, some kind of tools in place to prevent super obscene names.
You can report levels, and it does allow you to report levels for numbers for multiple reasons, including language. Another one that I thought was interesting was for copyright reasons. So they're very well aware people might try to make Super Mario levels in this.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think they've got bigger fish to fry with that language issue. That being said, I'm going to go with a no on this one. It's just, there's a lot of work that still needs to get put into this game, and I'd be willing to revisit it later if numerous changes are made to it. But it's just the game itself, while it's a decent level maker for kids or something like that, the gameplay is kind of crap, and the menus aren't particularly well made, and the online interaction with what levels and content moderation is just clearly not in place, even though it pretends that it is. Nah. So I just, no.
Well, even at $5, that's your verdict?
The only reason why I'd recommend it is because it takes less than an hour to get all the achievements and 1,000 it. Otherwise, absolutely not.
All right. Well, next up is Super Onion Boy 2, developed by Power Slash Studios, published by Rattlelake Games, released January 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Super Onion Boy 2 is a classic 2D action-adventure game in retro-style pixel art. Your mission is to save your friends who were captured by a terrible monster with psychic powers. Jacob, how terrible of a monster is it?
I mean, it's standard 2D platformer monsters. It's very much a Super Mario Brothers-esque game. including with hopping on people's heads and, you know, getting power-ups. Now, the power-ups are actually pretty fun. Like, there's different stuff. Like, you can become a wizard, and you can become a ninja. My kids were a big fan of the ninja suit, even though, like, the ninja's real ability is just jumping, like, double jumping. They were like, ah, he's so cool. So it's pretty much just you moving through the different levels, and of course they change up the location, and it's just really, you know, it's just really hop on everyone's heads, collect as many coins as you can, get to the end, and eventually, you know, there will be like a boss character that you have to beat. You know, it's standard platformer stuff. My favorite part of the game actually wasn't from the game. It was actually from my kids watching me play it. And so my oldest kid, Sam, was watching me play, and the first couple levels are on a beach. And he's like, wait a second, isn't he called Super Onion Boy? And I'm like, yeah, so? Well, if he's a boy, aren't his parents looking for him? He's out on the beach all by himself. Like, what? Where are the parents? Like, and I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, that's a good question. And like, he dropped it, but it was still like, you know.
And that kept you up for a week and a half straight. Where are his parents?
Where are Super Onion Boy's parents? And this is, you know, like, this is the second game, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like, where's so, Super Onion Dad and Super Onion Mom?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just the parents. I mean, like, we don't want to, you know, assume that, you know, it's mom and dad. But, yeah, it's just like, where are the parents? Or maybe they got killed in the first one. Who knows? Well, now I have to go off and review that one.
That's a dark prequel. My parents were murdered. I'm going to collect stars.
My parents were murdered. They're on a McDonald's hamburger now. but yeah, like, honestly, it's a fun game. It's a quick 1000, you know, it's not the most amazing game, but it's a really well-made platformer. I believe it's $5.
Yep. $5. What's your verdict?
Yeah, it's totally worth it. $5, easy achievements, like solid gameplay. Like, so there's plenty, like, even after you've gotten all your achievements, there's still like plenty for you to come back to. So yeah, definitely recommend it.
Cool beans. All right. Well, that is it for you, Jacob. We will let you get going.
Woo!
Because you got tweets to do.
Ugh, damn
it. Ha ha. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Oh, I do have some more Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie news for Aki.
She's not going to say anything? What?
She might not be paying attention.
That'd be great if she's muted and she's like,
oh. I know, because honestly, I actually have no news, and I was just like, that'd be pretty great if it's just like, if it's just you struggling to get her to come back onto the show because like she's no longer listening.
Oh,
so I'm really hope that would be fantastic. And that would be. I'm sorry, Joe, but that's honestly what I'm hoping has happened. So
she just fell asleep.
All right. Well, have fun.
All right. Take it easy. Moving on, next game to talk about is called Nostalgic Train, developed by Tata Mibaya, published by Amada KK, released February 2nd on Xbox One and Series X and S for $13.99, previously available on PS4, PS5, and Switch. Nostalgic Train is a mystical and melancholic first-person adventure walking sim set in the Japanese countryside, where you solve not only the mystery of the missing people of Natsugiri, but also that of yourself. Aki, tell us about your time with Nostalgic Train.
Okay, in this...
Oh, you're back. That's good.
Did you fall asleep? Like, holy
shit.
You actually slept. Like, you wake up for your review like, God, I'm so well rested. You are the worst. All right, I'm out of here.
No comments.
Aki, tell us about this one.
What was it again?
Nostalgic Train.
Okay. In Nostalgic Train, you play as a young woman. You wake up at a train station. You have no idea who you are. You don't have any memories other than a bunch of white shit and then waking up. And you start searching this town that is completely fucking empty. And you see these little white lights occasionally, and when you walk up to them, they tell you things. Sometimes it's just your internal thoughts, and other times you get to see the world where there are people and you can interact with things a little bit. You eventually very quickly find that this little town has known to have a lot of disappearances in it, and usually the people never reappear. But there's been at least one instance where someone has disappeared and then reappeared, and that person talked about their experience about seeing a whole bunch of white, not having any memories, not knowing their name, nothing. Hmm. And then being in a world where there aren't any people and interacting with stuff to bring himself back to the real world. And your character's like, oh, that's happened to me now. Shit. What do I do? And one of the things was that guy, he reappeared at the local elementary school. So they're like, okay, I'll go there. And there you see this white light, and it's coming from a life preserver. And when you touch it, suddenly you see the real world. You don't know what time period this is or anything, but you get to see that there's a kid drowning and another kid is freaking out because they don't know what to do. And then they grab the life preserver and jump in to try and save the kid. The kid gets saved by a cop, and the one that jumped in ended up drowning. So you're like, oh, that's not good. And you leave. which sounds really
you
bad.
Just,
but
you just go away?
Yeah, you leave because you hear the train starting. You're like, oh, maybe there's people there. So you run back to the train. You get on it. You look around. And the train starts moving, but there's no one but you on it. And then when you get back, you're like, something feels different about this life preserver because you brought it with you because you just – you had it in your hands and you heard that and you freaked out and apparently you didn't let go of it. I guess, whatever. so you go back to the school to see if maybe it still has power in it to see whatever you saw. And you see suddenly the same exact scene – except for now the kid can't find the life preserver. So instead he freaks out and just goes into a huddling position because he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have that sudden bit of bravery to jump in after to try and save the other kid since there's no life preserver. And both the other kid that was already in the water ends up still being saved by the cop. But now this kid doesn't jump in there, so he doesn't die. And that is the end of Act 1. And you have seven different little stories that you go through. They're not particularly super long. It's sometimes kind of hard to find the white lights that you have to look at because they everything's very saturated. There's a lot of light everywhere, so it's kind of hard to see them sometimes. That's what I've spent most of my time doing is trying to find the fucking lights that are like 10 feet from my character, but I can't see him because it's so bright. and that's what it does. It just tells you different people's stories from that town through the ages. You don't know when any of them are. And you're hoping that at some point, one of these people will have a memory that involves you and they'll remember you, which will hopefully bring you back into the real world before you fade away into nothing.
So it's a first person adventure walking sim. How much is it adventure and how much is it walking sim? Like how interactive is this game?
It's like 99% walking sim. You walk to the white lights and then they bring up text and then you walk to the next white light and it brings up text. That's all it is. Yeah, that's it, literally.
Well, it's $14. What do you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I think the little stories are really good. And it's all in the countryside, which I like. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's worth it. It's just a nice little slice of life thing, and I'm all for that.
Cool. Anything else you want to say about it?
Doesn't have voice acting, but it does have sound. So you can hear cicadas and stuff in the background, and it's just, it feels nice to play.
Cool. All right, next up is The Longest Road on Earth, developed by Brainwash Gang and TLR Games, published by Raw Fury, released January 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. A thoughtful and deeply personal title with stripped-down mechanics, the lack of dialogue or text allows you to create your own narrative through your time with four characters. Each short story will allow players to be swept away by the haunting lyrics of over 20 original nostalgic songs. Aki, tell us about The Longest Road on Earth.
Okay. In this, there are four or five chapters, I think. And in each one, you play a different furry, I guess we'll go with, an animal-human hybrid thing. So I'm just going to call them furries. The first one, you play as a mouse or maybe one of those hairless cats. I don't know what she's supposed to be. And then the last one you play as a moose. So every chapter is a completely different species of animal even. This game can be beaten in about an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe.
The store page even says, though the experience is short, under 3 hours, it allows you to wrap yourself like a cozy blanket in the beauty of small joys, like blowing dandelion seeds, collecting seashells, sledding on the first day of winter, and riding a bike on a summer day.
Yeah.
It sounds like some kind of medication commercial.
Kind of.
Like, ask your doctor about the side effects.
Yeah, kind of. Again, there's, as it said, there is no dialogue. There's nothing. Well, there is things that are written, but they're not written in any actual language. They're just squiggles, and they're very rare even. Most of this is played with this beautiful, beautiful music. Very, as it said, it is haunty, because that's exactly what I thought when I was going to say that if it didn't, and it did. So I was like, well, okay, never mind. And it's, again, it's another slice of life thing. Like the first one, you play as that cat or mouse thing, whatever the fuck it is. It's just her, just like a day in her life. She gets up, she gets ready to go to work, and then she's at work for a little while at an old diner. And then she's back home dealing with like her mail and stuff. And that's the first chapter. It's just that. It's just very basic stuff. And sometimes you see little bits of like what I assume are flashbacks that, again, without any text, you kind of just make up whatever the hell you want it to be. And every last one of them is like that. So the two I really remember are the first one and the last one, because that's a psychology thing. Everyone's going to remember those two, sadly. So it was pretty good. It was very weird. I don't know how many people this is going to really appeal to, just by the merit of there's not an actual story, and this is clearly a game that is kind of made to be a story game, but it doesn't have story. You're to make it up instead. I don't know how well that's going to appeal to most people, sadly. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a cute little game. Again, another slice of life, and I'm cool with those sometimes.
Cool. Well, it's $10. What do you say?
I'm very much for it.
Cool. Anything else, or just your...
I am just very much for it. I as I said, I don't know how many people are actually going to want this game, sadly, because, again, it's very obviously a narrative game, but they've taken the narrative out of it.
Yeah.
So it's, I just don't know if people are going to look at this and be like, oh, this seems interesting. They're going to be like, this seems dumb. And that's a shame, because I did enjoy it. And the music is so beautiful. I loved it.
Nice. No, I might have to give this one a go. It looks really cool. I just worry about the short play time and being $10. I kind of wish it were like 7 or 8. As little as that difference makes, it just kind of feels like not a $10 game.
Yeah, I would prefer if it was cheaper as well, but I enjoyed the game, so I'm for it anyways.
All right. Well, moving on. The next game is The Dead Tree of Ranch Yuna, developed by Tongguk Bodor and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released February 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $9.99. Fantasy combines with cruel reality in one man's journey to learn the truth surrounding his derelict hometown. Aki, tell us about this one.
This is like fucking Nihilism, the goddamn game. You play as some schmuck. I don't know what his name was because he's the only guy around. I think he says his name at the very beginning and at the very end, but I'll be damned if I remember. And he walks into his old town and he sees the ghosts of the past that tell him basically what happened. And basically the story is this dude came back from university because everything went to shit. He came back to his tiny little town that has like maybe 10 houses in the entirety of it. So everyone there is probably inbred as shit. And he's like, I'm going to go talk to all my friends and they're going to be so happy to see me back. And then I'm going to talk to the girl I like and she's going to be super happy to see me back because we were a thing before I left and we're going to still be a thing now. And then everyone just fucking demolishes this dude like the entire fucking time. Everyone treats him like shit. And then there's the narrator who might be your character or he might be just the narrator. I'm not really sure. And the narrator is a gigantic fucking douche. It's like one of the first things the narrator says is something along the lines of, you know, some people choose happiness and other people choose smarts. And he's on, you know, some people choose to have relationships because it makes them happy. Other people are smart. I'm just like, okay, I get it. You think people who are in relationships are stupid. Fuck off already. And the narrator never gets any better. I fucking hated the narrator. Because like he just goes from that to people are shit. Life is shit. Everything sucks. Like I like the little stories where it showed what was happening, because again everyone treated this dude like shit and that was kind of sad. I was like, oh, this poor schmuck. And you get that, but all the narrator bits, which all of them pop up at random areas, at least the first time you go through, it's just random when they show up. They don't show up in different areas on another playthrough or anything, but it all just seems so randomly dispersed throughout it, and it's very easy to miss some parts of it, of the little story of the guy and how everyone's treating him. Narrator parts, sadly, aren't able to be missed, but the actual story bits are, sadly. And you're just going around the town, a gigantic fucking circle around this town and its surrounding area, just learning this little story about this guy being treated like shit with the narrator who's a complete fucking tool. And then you get back to the village and you realize what's happened. And it's not good, clearly. Big shocker. Everyone in town treats the dude like shit. It doesn't end well.
That's shocking.
I know, right? And yeah, this is literally just a walking sim. You just walk. There's nothing else. You just move forward. The end. There are four tiny little puzzles in the game they have to complete. And three of them are just switch puzzles where you figure out which switches need to be flipped up and which ones need to be flipped down. And they're very easy. And it's all about trial and error because there is nothing that tells you how they're supposed to be. You just do it until you get it right. And the last one is a Skyrim lock picking puzzle, basically. and it's at the very end of the fucking game. I think you can technically do it like three or four times, but there's only one door that actually has to have that happen for an achievement. And yeah.
That's sounds it. Like just another quick, easy one.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. It's pretty easy. It's also not particularly exciting because there are long parts where you're just walking and it's not a particularly beautiful game by any stretch of the means. It's not the ugliest game I've played, but it is not particularly good looking. the water looks nice when there isn't graphical bugs with it, because like some parts of the water has that nice rippling effect to make it look like, you know, the water is moving. And then there's also big chunks of it that are just flat matte. And they look fucking terrible. Just like, aw. Because that's really the only thing that actually looks all that particularly good. Because all the trees are kind of eh. The rocks are kind of eh. The background's kind of eh. The water looks good when it has, you know, when it actually has all the graphics on it that it's supposed to.
No. So it sounds like this game is just entertaining but unremarkable.
It's barely entertaining, even, honestly. It's so much just walking in a straight line for like 3, 4, 7, 8 minutes.
Oh, God.
And then hearing a bit of dialogue, which slows you down, and you're already pretty slow. Because, again, it's one of these where when you walk, you're moving at like 0.2 speed. But when you run, you move at point like 2.2 speed. So it. You might as well, you know, have a thumb up your ass instead. I'm pretty sure I can do somersaults faster than this dude can run. And then anytime any of these scenes, be it the narrator opening his fucking mouth again, or one of the actual interesting bits, he slows down significantly. He, even if you're at running, usually it'll take you out of running altogether, but then even just walking, it bumps it down to like 0.0 something speed. And it's just oh my God, it's so arduous. And again, the narrator, I hate the narrator.
Well, the game's like $10. The game. What are your thoughts on it?
I have to say, deny it. If they cut out all the narrator and pulled all the sections much closer and maybe filled them out a bit better, I'd be for it. But God, the narrator just blows.
You have a way with words, Aki.
Yeah, he sucks. Like, legitimately, he is fucking terrible. And it's not like because he's monotone or anything, even though he kind of is. It's just everything he talks about is this pseudo-intellectual bullshit that just tells everyone he hates everything around him. And it's just like, that's not what I want as the main fucking narrator who speaks through like 70% of this fucking game. I don't want that. Oh, sucks. Geez. So no, I'm not for this one, sadly. Just God, no.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is Starlight Shores, developed by Delphinium Interactive, published by Penguin Pop Games, released January 26th on the Xbox One Series X and S for $6.99. Wish on shooting stars while you enjoy a weekend getaway at the beach. Starlight Shores is an island-themed visual novel that adopts a unique short story romance style. It features multiple endings where your choices truly matter. Aki, tell us about Starlight Shores.
Okay. First things first, this game took me, I'm a very slow reader since I'm blind as shit, it took me about 2.5 hours to beat 100%. I love it. You play as Will, and you're in university, and a friend of yours that I assume you went to high school with, I think, has invited you to spend your birthday weekend at a basically a cabin on the beach that they won a raffle and got for the weekend. And so you're there to meet up with her. And she also brought along her new best friend as well.
That bitch.
Oh, they're both hot, though, so it's fine. And they also apparently invited, I guess, your roommate or another friend of theirs from the past, another dude, and he blows. he's such an asshole. Like, you meet with your friend tells you to go meet her new best friend because you haven't met them, because you and her have split up from going to different universities, because you both study vastly different things, and that's where she met the other friend. So you go there to meet her, because apparently you two are like the same person, just one is a hot chick and one is a dude. And so you do, and when you come back, fucking the other guy calls and is like, hey, yeah, I'm bringing someone with me, by the way. Not that I told anyone beforehand or anything. And he's coming at last minute, too. so he's being all sorts of a dickhead.
Oh, geez.
And that does not change. The entire time he's there, he's kind of a dickhead. So he's a good person to be like, God, I don't like you. But that's his purpose. And, you know, they just want to celebrate your birthday with you and all this other stuff and get to know you, obviously. And, yeah, you can end up romancing either your original best friend or her new best friend, or you can, you know, be with nobody and everyone else is hooking up in the house except for you. Well, I guess you have your hand, whatever. I guess everyone's hooking up in there. Or you can get really, really sick from drinking too damn much and make out with the porcelain throne. So, I mean, four endings. It's great. and your choices throughout the thing can obviously either make you more liked by one of the girls, one or the other girl. But there's also choices that you can make that can improve basically his relationship with the random fucking girl that he brought, as well as that girl's relationship with the other girls. And you can basically make their relationship go well, or you can fucking ruin it. And I really liked the ruining it part.
That is just shocking that you would want to do that.
He's a dickhead. He's a dickhead. I hate him. He's such a douche. Like, oh my God. The girl is a party animal that he brings. So everything is a drinking game. Like, very soon into the game, she's like, okay, we're playing drinking games. And her entire objective is to get everybody drunk. Because to her, this is just a party. She just wants to have fun, even though you and the other two girls are there specifically to see the stars, because there's a giant meteor shower, and this is one of the best places to view it. She does – this other girl, Erica, does not give a fuck. She's like, no, we're partying, and we're having a drinking game, and everyone's playing it, and everyone's drinking, and you're all going to get drunk, and that's how the life works, because this is a party, and I'm now in charge. Fuck you guys. she's very abrasive at first. I don't mind her too much. I thought she was abrasive at first, but then I got used to her, and she was okay. She's much better than her current boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, if I have anything to say about it. So she turns into a drinking game, and he can be a real dick to her during that game if you do things right, which leads to her obviously getting very violently ill from, you know, drinking. So, yeah, you can get them together or you can split them up real easy. Because they're both kind of terrible in this relationship with each other. They are just so toxic for each other. And honestly, that was the better part of the story than the actual romancing either of the other two girls. Honestly, I really liked the mechanics and learning about the other couple that was there. I really liked learning about them because through different playthroughs, you can figure out more about the guy and more about Erica herself. And each playthrough gives you different bits of information based on the things you choose. So you can learn wildly different information about her. It all fits together. So it's not like, oh, suddenly she's just a really nice homebody in this playthrough and she's a complete alcoholic in this other one. No, no. If she's an alcoholic, she's just an alcoholic and she's an alcoholic. just throwing that out there. That was really interesting, and seeing how both of them interact with things was really cool. That was much more interesting than the actually trying to get with the other girls, which was kind of surprising for me that I would care at all about these other two schmucks, one of which I absolutely cannot stand, and the other one that's just – I would be fine if she wasn't around. Sadly, you can't get with her because that'd be fucking hilarious. I want to cock block that other dude. be so fantastic. But yeah, so after you beat each playthrough and stuff, you unlock gallery images, which are just the special images that you see throughout the different parts of it, like watching Erica and the other best friend, the other the girl best friend, watching the two of them make out and stuff, which was awesome. And then you get ones where, like, the endings with Will, you can get that, and so on and so forth. So, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it, really.
Cool.
I mean, well, it's a very simple visual novel.
Nice. Well, it's $6.99. What are your thoughts?
I really, really like this one. I cannot suggest it enough. I think this is actually probably worth more money than that. But since that's what they're selling it for, I'm for it.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight. That is Far Cry 6 Pagan Control DLC, developed by Ubisoft Toronto, published by Ubisoft, released January 12th for Far Cry 6 for $14.99. Also available as part of the Season Pass for $39.99. Unveil the backstory of this iconic villain as you explore unique locations in a twisted version of the Kyrat to collect keys and escape your own mind in this die and retry gameplay experience. Aki, what is going on in this DLC?
They say this is a twisted version of Kyrat, but it's not. You're in a giant bowl. Really, it's just a giant bowl. It's just a giant circle. This doesn't. It's nothing like Kyrat. So no, that's a lie.
However, I'm just reading what the page says.
Yep, and I'm pointing out they're lying to people. Not that I particularly mind. This is another one of the where you play as villains things. And obviously, you're playing as, if you haven't figured it out, Pagan fucking Min. One of the most fantastic of the villains as far as I'm concerned. I mean, everyone loves Voss because Far Cry 3 was the better game between them, that and 4, but in my opinion, Pagan Min was one of the best characters. And you get to learn more about his history. He is trying to reunite with his dead family. And he's going around, he's killing all the ironically, it's AJ is who he's killing, which is his son, his stepson. And he's trying to reunite with him, but the bad guys that he's killing are also AJ and himself. he's going up against the Tyrant, which is a very pissy bitch version of Pagan himself. And then he has all the enemies from that were your allies in Far Cry 4. I don't remember any other names because they all sucked. Because again, Far Cry 4 was not a particularly good game. And he's going around. Obviously, you're leveling up like you do in all the other games by collecting money. In this one, it's called Respect. And thank God, you get it so much more quickly and so much more easily than you did in Voss's Insanity DLC. So you get through this stuff a lot faster, thank God. You still have, you know, the little chibis that you can shoot to gain a little ornament in the game for your car. And you have, you know, the past that you can see through it, Pagan's past. You actually get to see Pagan's father, which is obviously he had one, but no one knew anything about his past before he came the king of Kyrat. So that was really interesting. Apparently,
don't give away too much about that. So
yeah, apparently they were still gangsters somewhere else. I'm not sure exactly where. I have a pretty good feeling of exactly where, but I'm not going to say it because that will tell people exactly what his father was. So you see their relationship and how he took power and then came here. You see how he recruited a couple of his loyal people. And you see how he interacted with some of the world around him. And his entire thing throughout this is changing things to be how he saw it. Because originally it's, you know, everything you see is he's the bad guy. But he's like, no. This is not how this went. That's not how this went at all. And he changes it and it ends up making him look kind of like a good guy instead. And he's also trying to find in the Voss DLC, you were trying to find pieces of the dragon knife, which is the knife that in Far Cry 3 you're looking for throughout the whole game. And, you know, all the ending information, either you can kill your friends with it or you get stabbed by what the fuck was her name?
Spoilers. Oh my God, her name. Jesus.
Fuck, that game's old now. So you're trying to find the three pieces that in this, you're trying to find the three pieces of a mask so you can hide all the bad parts of yourself so you can be perfect, so you're able to be reunited with your family in the afterlife, because that's all he wants. He wants to be with the people he loved.
No.
And you find he actually did love them. He wasn't just a fucking piece of shit. And that was actually kind of shocking, because I always thought he was just a villainous asshole, but this really gave him a lot of depth, and I really like that.
Cool. Well, the DLC is $15. What are your thoughts on it?
I say definitely get this. I'm really looking forward to the next one as well. I can't wait for that to come out, because if it's half as good as these two have been, I'm going to fucking love it.
So you think it's worth just going all out and buying the season pass for this?
Oh, hell yeah. So far, I have been thoroughly impressed by this, because both of them have given the characters a lot more fleshing out. And I mean, to a very significant degree. And I'm hoping when I finish, because they're still the same five mind levels that you have to play through. I'm hoping at the end we somehow find that Pagan Min is alive or something. I want something for him to come back. I'm fine with Joseph Seed still being dead, because fuck that guy.
All right, well,
One more piece.
They
added a Rambo DLC.
Free update for everyone, right?
I believe so. I'm pretty sure it's free for everybody. And sadly, I was really hoping they actually brought in Rambo into the game. They did not. And that really just made me sad. Because then the other one, they brought in Danny Trejo for the Danny Trejo DLC. So I was like, oh my God, we're going to fight alongside Rambo. Holy shit, that's going to be out now. No, some guy just, he wants you to go kill some dickhead because both of them are collectors of Rambo-related stuff. And the guy who wants you to kill him wants to be the one to have all of it. And then he sends you out to go collect the explosive bow that's in one of the Rambo movies. And that becomes a weapon when you finish it. You get that as a brand new weapon. And sweet. It is just an explosive arrow. And it is fantastic. I was able to use two arrows and I blew a fucking helicopter out of the sky. It was fantastic. It was bitching.
Sweet.
It's like the whole last part of that mission is just you just mowing fucking people down, because you grab that and I don't think you can even run out of ammo for it during that mission. And just like tons of people just keep coming in, and you're supposed to kill more people than what Rambo did throughout the movies, which is like 500 and something people. And your character's just lying out their ass to the guy. They're like, oh yeah, I've killed like at least 200, when you've killed like maybe 10. but you can use that explosive arrow and it just blows people to smithereens. And then helicopters come and you get to blow those up. It is so fun.
Nice.
Too bad it's like two tiny little super short missions.
Well, it's free. It's a free update, so.
Yeah, I would have loved more of that, though, because that was just the quibs that Danny kept having was so fantastic. I loved it.
Nice. All right, well, that is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Thanks to you for being here, hanging out. Thanks to Jacob for doing his thing. Big thanks to Chris and Purnell for coming on and hanging out for our 9th anniversary episode. Holy shit, 9 years.
Yep, with another 500 more to go, at least.
No, Jesus, don't put that evil in the jar.
It's fine.
Do you have any final words to end it?
I want more games.
I mean, we get games, so.
I know, I want
okay.
more.
Okay.